Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
Good morning. This is a public service announcement for Dumpty Dummers everywhere. It's Jan Mitchell calling in to encourage you to join the Dumpty Dum Patreon team. For a small donation of $2 a show, you will get access to extra content like Royfield's fabulous interviews, Anya, who plays Alexi, of course, and Headley, who plays the mysteriously missing Kathy. Those interviews really enriched my enjoyment of The Archers, and I'm really looking forward to the next one with Becky Wright, who played Nick Grundy. Please consider supporting our wonderful Dumpty Dum creative team. You won't be disappointed. Oh, and by the way, no one asked me to do this. This is all on me. Bye, everybody.
Hey, Dumpty Dummers all around the world. It's Northern Star again. This is a different kind of Dumpty. Yes, I know. This is a very special kind of Dumpty Dum that I'm just learning. So, this is something I actually figured out with my snorty boy since he's here. If I start clapping with clapping the Dumpty Dum, he settles down. Anyway, here it goes.
Oh, all right. Right now, yes, it's I'm furiously moving up and down on my script to say this is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality docudrama that's centered on Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the thriving cheese making workshop that is Royfield Brown, and with me, I have the lone furious cheesemaker demanding the money back. That is
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of Helen's new business venture, folks, is you. Now, this week's Dumpty Dum was from Northern Star again and her little Dumpty Diddler. But, Luce, because we do have another Dumpty Dum from Northern Star, but after that, I think we're flat empty in our vaults. So, if somebody wants to help us restock our vaults, how can they do that?
If you would like to find where I am with the script, if you would like to sing us a Dumpty Dum, leave us a plot prediction, or visit your estranged husband to urgently descale the taps, then call us on 02030313105 to leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thank you to Cosmo for his podcast roundups, and to the Dumpty Dogs, Shambridge for her voices, Isabel McCurdy for helping Royfield, Mike Hatton for his character
counts. He's helping us, Lucy, helping us.
Oh, sorry, helping us. And to Derek, the 11th back bedroom. Derek has a lot of sympathy with Donald Trump over the Stormy Daniels affair, as he also had a relationship with an actress in adult films. She was called Gale Force, and she was most often on Derek's handheld.
That's very good. I quite like that. Gale Force. Well, well done. On this week's episode, we have views from Christine, Auntie Jean, Catherine, and Curious Alice. But first, before the calls, let's brace ourselves for a little bit of Lucy V. Freeman and A Week in Ambridge. Oh, shit, I've done it again. Oh, God. I'm winding myself up, don't I? Okay. Here, here we go.
We began the week in church with Shula and Jill. Shula let us know that New Zealand is a long way from England. No wonder they don't do buses there. I did wonder. Jill reacted in a typically unhysterical and unhooty fashion by saying, "Have you really tried to save your marriage though, Shula? Really? Well, why not just shut up and crack on with it and live in misery for the next 2 decades, you selfish cow? Will no one think of my reputation? I've now got a granddaughter having a baby on the wrong side of the silage clamp, one grandson who's a sound effect, and a son who plays with a toy farm. Still, it could be worse," she said. "I could be Peggy." Over at the stables, Shula had popped back to pick up a few things and clear the limescale. "What? What? I mean, it might sound a bit mad, but, you know, no, you're right, it's bloody mental." At one stage, Alistair seemed to be trying to shave with Shula's limescale remover. I mean, actually, I don't know what Shula was trying to remove the limescale from. It can't have been that long, surely. Maybe she was a bit furred up. Who knows? Anyway, both of them were quietly furious in a very small room, trying to do different things at the same time. "One of you, leave the room. The parish council is organising an egg hunt on the green for Easter. Groups of children are going to chase Lexi round with a massive syringe. Continuing her policy of gleaning her dining table chit-chat from visits to the sexual health clinic, Jennifer announced that Lexi has down-regulated her cycle. Someone punctured her in a tube. Pat discovered that the poor buggers at the Elms had lost their homes, not their taste buds. She'd gleefully wrestled the cooking duties off the supervisor and was cunningly using it as a way of using up all the leftover vegetables to make one of my big vegetable stews. Mm. One poor woman, after she finished choking on a bendy parsnip, said if Pat had added a few other ingredients, it would have been better. Namely, 2 pounds of stewing steak and some chips. On the grounds that there's no such thing as a free chairmanship, Justin is calling it in. Mm. "I'm going to need you to back me up on this, Brian. Get me a coffee, Brian. If you could just massage my athlete's foot cream in, I'd appreciate it, old man." In a pathetic attempt to sound like a proper businessman and not a guilty lickspittle, Brian chuntered on about a lack of retail units in Borchester. Too bloody right. There's Underwoods, and the only off-licence in Borchester that's still serving Alice. Ah, Alice, the only person in the world who can get bounced out of a funeral. People kept saying they didn't know what had got into her until Clary pointed out it was a bottle and a half of Pinot Grigio. Fortunately, though, Brian is still so desperate to claw back his role as Daddy Warbucks, he promised Alice a job on the grounds that with everything going to hell faster than Russian democracy, adding a self-centred alcoholic into the mix would probably actually improve his business model. We had the funeral. Susan was upset by the music. I don't blame her. It was awful. Alice got hammered. She doesn't like funerals, or last orders, as she prefers to call them.
Well done. Well, that's very good. Even you're laughing at your gag now. Well done.
I laugh when you laugh. I can't help it. I don't know. Yeah,
you're laughing at your own genius there. Well done.
Bit of a weird scene with Ruth, Pip and Bert, in which Pip karate chopped Bert in the knackers as she thought he was going for a bit of a hashtag Me Too action and was lurching towards her stomach. Bert was very distressed, as he said he'd heard about men touching women's pregnant bellies and all sorts. "If anyone tried to touch my all sorts, I'd bloody have them, especially not the pink and black ones." 3 people and a whippet turned up to Helen's cheese workshop. "I called this one Borchester Blue, and that one is a Pecorino Patronizo," she said. "Cheese is made from milk. Can you spell milk?" Detective Inspector Ruth Archer is on the trail of Brian the Cravat Aldridge with the help of her hapless poet sidekick, Bert Deep Fat Fry. She cross-questioned Bert about Ambridge in the 70s. "There were a lot of cowboys around in them days," he said, making Ambridge sound like a Dolly Parton convention. "And just when you thought Linda Snell couldn't be any more tedious, Robert is encouraging her to read Lord of the Rings. Good God, man, have a heart." as if she'd want to read about a fictional land in which characters with unlikely names make sudden decisions with seemingly no forethought, call everyone by their full names, and older characters embark on long discussions of their ancestry. Oh, hang on. Yeah, you're probably onto something there. Right? The end.
Well done. Well done. It's really, you know what I really like about that, or kind of like the whole kind of Tolkien thing? Well, then that's just another link back to the Midlands and Brum in particular. So that's all just all key.
Yeah, and it was Tolkien. It's Tolkien Week or something. Tolkien Reading.
Is that
week.
The reason?
Reading Week. Yes. I told you we've had sport with Sport Aid Sepsis and Tolkien. That's right. Someone's got hold of the PR
calendar,
week. Yeah, the PR calendar, and we're just going through it, aren't we, one by one.
Well, I like the fact that you didn't mention Sport Week at all.
Yes, I like that as well.
Well,
quite frankly, does anybody need another reminder?
No.
All that coy, look at mine, mine's bigger than yours. Oh, for God's sake. I mean, I know we do innuendo, but bloody hell fire. Mm.
The thing about all of that wasn't just that it's just uncomfortably shoehorned in. We don't say this often about the Archers, but it's actually just badly written. It made them
it really
seem
is.
The
yeah.
most
yeah.
cloying,
yeah.
just trickly.
Yeah.
Ugh, it was just, you know, if anything,
it really was
our feelings of their relationship. Yes,
it's like that whole bit had been handed to the work experience person. You just write that, and if it's good enough, we'll fit it in. And then they're thinking, well, it's not really good enough, but we're gonna have to put it in anyway. So they did
diktat from on high that had to put it, but it was just badly written, you know, put it in. Once or twice, you know, they go jogging and it's a little bit competitive, but Jesus fucking H Christ, it was bad. And as I say, we don't often say that about this wondrous thing. So, right. So last week in Ambridge, what were your bits? You know what I really liked, and I keep on forgetting that there is a double act in Ambridge, which is stupendous, and it's Clary and Susan. And they have great, great moments.
Yes.
You know, invariably, Clary kind of slaps Susan down, doesn't she?
Yeah.
But
this
week, she had all the moral right and weight on her shoulders because of what she'd been through. And there was Susan kind of blithely going on, and she just kind of beat her up in the, in the lambing pot shed or whatever the heck it was. But I love them together.
When it's the power balance. It's the way the power shifts between them all the time.
Well, I would say the power is shifting, isn't it? Because they've always kind of been on a level. Okay, Susan's always had aspirations that she's, you know, she isn't lower working class. But now,
the one thing that Susan has had has been, I mean, hilariously, it's the Grundys who have sort of hovered on the wrong side of the law for years, and yet it's Susan that went to prison. That's kind of, there's a beautiful little subtlety there. But also, Clary, Susan has always banged on about, you know, well, my son married an Aldrich, hello, Jennifer, and all this. And now, yes, okay, your son married an Aldrich, but he married an alcoholic. There's kind of a, you know, and again, it's kind of, this sort of lovely little shift.
Absolutely. And what else? What else from last week did I really love? I love them pair. And you did touch on this. Well, you more than touched on it. You did a couple of great, great lines about it. But Brian and Justin, the fact that now, I think you kind of said, you know, Justin has his lick spittle on the BL board is awesome. But now that the way Brian is going round and trying to recruit Alice now to be, well, Alice always was on his side, in his pocket, vis-a-vis family decisions. But he's, things go to hell in a handbasket with your company, you know, I'll get you a job here type of thing. But will she have a job to come back to? Will it even be a farm? That's the question.
And anyway, just because she doesn't like you, just because, you know, we all have to work with difficult people. I have to work with you, for crying out loud.
I'm not difficult.
Loose. No, I know.
I think you'll find, right? You're the difficult one. You're the diva. Well, you're the talent, aren't you?
I am.
I am even-handed producer, and you're the ballsy talent.
Absolutely. I make Judy Garland look like Alan Titchmarsh, honestly. Yeah. Anyway, Alice is having this massive kind of hissy fit about work. I don't like it. Because she has to work with someone she doesn't like. Well, that's called work. That's 90% of you earn 90% of your wages for A, turning up, and B, having to work with people that you wouldn't necessarily want to work with if you had any choice in the matter.
But isn't the speculation that she is boff?
Yes, having a ding dong with Aaron or whatever it's called. But then just to be rescued, you know, oh, don't worry, come and work with us here. They haven't got any money to pay anyone with, because they're facing massive, you know, he hasn't consulted anybody else. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Alice is well out. You know, if she's got a job with a company that's completely unconnected with Home Farm and Borchester Land, then she's, you know, she's doing very well. She's in a better position than most of the others.
Mm-hmm.
Debbie gets some of her wages paid by Home Farm. Adam gets all of his. Rory's all right so far. And Kate's, you know, renting property from them and living in a house that belongs to Home Farm. Alice is the only one who's actually kind of managed to separate herself off.
True that.
And what does she do? She gives up her job and goes heading straight back again. She's absolutely mad.
She hasn't done it yet, but it's potentially on the cards. On the cards.
Yes.
And you've put the idea in my head, in my noggin, you have. Because you were talking about the fact that obviously the script writers have looked at the news media of the time and the PR media and says, right, so it's sepsis week. Let's have a bit of that. Oh, wow, it's stew making day. Let's have that ridiculous story. Jesus Christ, what was that all about? You know, that stew making thing. Anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Alice, do you think, right, that maybe they're queuing us up for a bit of a hashtag Me Too situation with her at work? That actually she's been kind of coerced into something?
I think there might possibly be there was a situation, she was drunk and blah, blah, blah. And then he's going to claim that this Aaron chap, he's going to claim that as, you know, well, she shouldn't have got that drunk if she didn't, blah, 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 possibly. But then we've got a kind of that's a bit of a titchy knob thing again, isn't it?
No, because you could make it quite messy. Because if you remember back to, I don't know if you listened to Ambridge Extra when she was still a student down in Southampton or Portsmouth.
Yes.
In Southampton. She definitely was flirting with the guy, and I think they had a snog.
Yeah.
There was something which was at the start was definitely consensual. Then she said afterwards, no, I'm married, and tried to just palm it off as friendship, but he kept on pursuing her. So she's slightly got form in this area. And if you made it messy so it's around alcohol and something did happen and then she was pursued, it would be the same pattern. But the ramifications are much heavier, because now she's working, et cetera, and there's, you know, professional reputations and, you know, the weight of the organisation, the company kind of around her, and HR issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep, yep. Is that your considered answer? Yep, yep.
No, I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, yes. That's great.
I know it's unusual, but, you know, this is what it sounds like when someone agrees with you, Royfield.
Oh, right. I bet.
It's understandable why you would not recognise the signs. Mm. I think that could well be it, because there is definitely something with this Aaron chap. Unless they're doing their usual thing of just creating a red herring to string us on for months, and then it won't be that at all.
Mm. True that. Now, a bit of Shula time. I know we don't like talking about her, but we have to. She did do good with Will, didn't she?
Yeah. Well, she. I mean, she has. She's one of the few characters who's kind of experienced what he has, and therefore it makes sense that she's the one that sort of got through to him. I mean, what she said was nothing startling, but she was just able to sort of empathize with him in a way that other people couldn't.
Yeah, no, complete and utter empathy. I could go on. Right, we've done Linda and Robert. Well, at least you have. we've done Brian and Justin. Done Alice.
I love the way that they picked the Silmarillion, which is the single most complex, dense. You know, there's a reason why no one's ever heard of it, because it's kind of the most incomprehensible, and not incomprehensible, but just. It's very, very hard to relate to as a book, and it's so awful that Robert's picked that. The poor cow, honestly.
So why is it more complex than the other books in Tolkien's?
Because it's just because it's kind of like it sets the scene for it all. It's like reading, rather than reading watching Saving Private Ryan, it's like watching Ken Clark's Civilization first, as like a, you know, to sort of give you a bit of backstory kind of thing. It's all backstory, and it's all scene setting, and it's all the skeleton of the world that he created. There's no elves fighting in it. it's just. Unrelenting.
Did he actually, if it's scene setting, did he actually write that first, or did he kind of write it?
I don't know. I've no idea. I've never read the thing. I've got no intention of going anywhere near it. But yes, I don't know. I presume he did that. He did that first. But my God, although people tend to, because when they write a fantasy story, they then have to get that people start asking for backstory, don't they? So they then finish
exactly.
up.
That's the reason why I asked.
Going, yeah. I will look it up. I do not know, Royf.
Don't feel that you have to on my behalf, because there's nothing worse for me than all that elves malarkey and whatever. But yeah. Don't feel you have to, Freeman.
Okay.
All right. On that note, shall we go and get some caller interaction?
Yes, why not?
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Who do you want first there, Freeman?
You choose. You've got the buttons, love.
All right, then.
Hello, Lucy, Royfield, Robert, and all fellow dum-de-dummers worldwide. This is Cycling Christine calling in. Though I'm not cycling at the moment, we've been home for a while and enjoying being back in the UK and taking a rest from cycling for a while. I'm just calling in about Alistair and Shula because I just feel so sorry for Alistair. I think that his outburst this week at Shula saying he didn't realise there was a problem was justified, and I feel that he's been badly used. I just think that he's always been as he is now, and Shula was quite happy for that when she wanted a father for Dan, and it's almost as though she found him. He was used to be a suitable and good stepfather for Daniel, and now that is no longer necessary and Daniel's grown up. Shula's quite happy to wave goodbye to him, and I just feel really sorry for him. Honestly, another point, I also feel very sympathetic towards Ruth at the moment as regards trying to stand up for Rory's rights. I felt the way that Brian just was trying to fob her off last week, when she's doing what she's been asked to do and trying to do it in a proper way, was not good. Not unexpected, but she's trying to do what she's been asked to do, and she should be allowed to get on with the job of doing it properly and stand up for him and his rights. That's all for now. Greetings to all my fellow dum-de-dummers and hope to see you at a meetup at some point. Bye.
Oh, talking about meetup. Oh, by the way, yeah, Christine, yeah, wicked. Thank you, smashing. Bye, super. Luce. Luce. Yeah. I thought you'd gone.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I'm still here.
We're still cooking up this meetup, aren't we?
Yeah, I think we may be heading towards the 14th of May.
Oh.
No. Sorry. Yes, May. At the moment. But that is to TBC.
Right. Now, I sounded rather rude at the end of your call there, Christine, and I do apologise. It's because we have a stunning, another bike rider who is basically Map Corner winner of the week. And you and your bike and stuff kind of reminded me, and my brain got addled with talk of dum-de-dum-doos and bicycles and stuff. But shall we go back over the contents of our call there, Freeman?
Well, I feel we should, as you so abruptly said. Yes, thank you, marvellous Christine. Yeah. Shut up now.
Sorry, Christine.
Yes, I think you are. Yes, Christine, I think you are absolutely right. I'm not sure about, I don't think it was that quite as kind of clear cut as that, right, okay, Alistair, you have served your purpose and I am no longer interested in you. I think she had feelings for Alistair because he did give her and Dan a feeling of security. But, you know, she could have left him when he was going through all the gambling stuff and she didn't. That would have been the time. If it was just about that, then that's when she would have gone. I think it is genuinely that she needs to feel alive at the moment, and I don't think Alistair makes her feel alive. I don't think it's quite as sort of cynical as that, as you're suggesting, but I think there is a sense now where she thinks, well, okay, I don't need to be here for Daniel in the same way. Alistair doesn't need to be here for Daniel, so do I need to still be here with, do I want to still be here with Alistair? No, I don't. And I think that's quite relatable, actually.
And it's quite common, isn't it? You know, when the nest is empty, yeah, and the focus, yeah, gets turned back onto your relationship, solely on it.
And also the children are off fulfilling themselves and doing really exciting, interesting things. And you think, what am I doing?
Yeah, no, exactly. But I just go back to what I said last week. You know, you fall out of love with somebody. That's fine. It's understandable. But what you do is you give them a heads up of how you're feeling beforehand. You go, I'm not happy. Right. That's where I just got no sympathy for the woman. And I know this is slightly a female-male thing. And I say slightly before people start tweeting at me and calling me sexist and a caveman and whatever. But us men aren't bright at the best of times, and we need to be told. And, you know, let's go and have a holiday and do something slightly unusual is not telling somebody that if they don't go, you're going to divorce them, you want to leave them. You know, you need to be explicit.
Yeah.
And she didn't do that. She didn't do that. And for all the talk of him being a bad communicator about his emotions and stuff, she's equally as complicit,
yeah,
because she didn't
absolutely
say. Fall out of love with him, be frustrated, fine. But, you know, it's a marriage. So you got to be open about this stuff.
And also, Christine, I completely agree about Brian and Ruth. It's like he's now punishing Ruth for doing exactly what he asked her to do.
Absolutely.
He got her there to represent Rory's interests. She's representing Rory's interests, and he's bloody furious. You know, he's like, well, I wanted you to represent Rory's interests as far as they agreed with mine. You know, if they don't, I'm not very interested. Thank you very much. And yeah, she's got a really, really tough job, but you know, you shouldn't have got somebody as kind of as thorough as Ruth, who doesn't do anything by halves except cook, if he didn't actually wanted to do that. Tough. You just picked the wrong one. We should have picked Kenton. Kenton would just go, "What? Yes, I don't care. Whatever." You know, wouldn't care at all.
I tell you another thing. She does in halves affairs because she didn't quite go through with it, did she?
Yes.
Another thing. Just saying. All right.
Yes, I rather think that's in her favour, though, Roy. Not the other way around. But
true that. Would you like another call?
Yes, why not?
All right.
Hello, Dumpty Dummers Worldwide.
Oh, God.
Thank you to everyone who makes this podcast possible. This is Catherine Rowan Jones calling in from High Wycombe at 88 Ivy Fox on the Twitters. Oh, St. Shula, the sanctimonious martyr, the whited sepulchre, buttoned up to the neck in one of your many cream cardigans, your lips pursed in disapproval at the world like a cat's bum. Your best friend, your only friend perhaps, Caroline, died, and maybe it's a wake-up call. But losing a relationship, a home, a business, three of the most traumatic life events that you will experience or you'll inflict on Alistair. Companionship and teamwork, they have their merits too, and you're throwing those over for whatever you perceive is out there. You could regret this, Shula, once you face loneliness, because as a miserable 59-year-old woman, what have you got to offer the world,
let alone
another person? And as for Brian and the pond of poison, and it's permeating miasma. I've one word for Brian: hubris. Look it up, Brian. This could all come around to bite you in the bum, and I hope it does, because karma. Talk to Kate about karma, Brian. I think she might have a thing or two to tell you. I love you all. Thank you very much for the show. This is Catherine signing off. Love you all. Bye bye.
Wow.
Bye. Yes.
Mm.
No, absolutely. I think, yeah, I'm sure Kate will have something to say about karma, but not before she said, "But what about me? How will this affect me?" Which is actually what's going to really bother her. We had an email from Curious Alice,
mm-hmm.
who says, plot prediction, Ruth rumbles Brian, who panics and in a claret-induced frenzy strangles her with one of his cravats, then has to dispose of the body using a wood chipper. It's all just an excuse to be rid of Ruth, basically. He is going to be really, really, really angry, isn't he? Because Brian is used to it. There is a great deal of hubris heading his way, but also he is used to being the person that can talk himself out of a situation. He can kind of just by sheer force of personality, because it's mostly Jenny that he's dealing with, he can kind of drive through his perception of what he's done, which is he's always got a very good excuse for it. Or he's just going to sort of bargain in the way that he does with Jennifer, and I'll buy you a new kitchen and blah, blah, blah. But this time he's just absolutely banged to rights. There's nowhere for him to go, is there?
No, absolutely not. And that makes his position all the more delicious. And I think you were slightly unfair. No, you weren't unfair, but there was another element to the whole him, the way that like, he kind of bit Ruth's head off. It wasn't just the fact that Ruth was standing up for Ruah Ruari. It was the fact that it's because he knows that she's doing her job and she's doing it well, and he's been put on the spot because it's his mess up, isn't it? That's the reason.
Yeah.
Because he has actually commented before that even though, you know, in various kind of, you know, meetings that, bloody hell, Nora, she's doing a job well. And he went, you know, and that's the reason why I got her to do the job. But now, it's, you know, all his chickens are coming home to roost. They don't have chickens on Home Farm, do they?
No.
No, I shouldn't have said that then. What's coming home to roost then? What are the
deer. They don't roost.
They don't roost though, do they? No.
The pheasants at the shoot.
Do they actually roost? You'd think they probably would do.
No, they don't.
Tell you what's nice around here, what you do often get, not in San Francisco, but if you go like to the East Bay, and it can be quite urban, and you can still see wild turkeys wandering around.
Really? Yeah. Are they huge?
They're quite bloody big. And you're not allowed to you can't get a bag and just swoop them up and like put them in your pot. Like, it's not right. Allowed by state law. You will be caught.
Royfield, I would pay good money to see you attempting to swoop up a wild turkey, put it in a bag, and then in your pot.
Well, the thing is, right, they obviously know they've got some kind of protected status because you can just walk past them.
I don't think they know that.
No, trust me, I know they're dumb animals, but they're pretty cocky. Like
they've read the bylaws. No, we're fine, mate. Honestly, boys, we're all right.
Well,
do what you want.
It's a bit like, what was that island which had all the dodos? And then humans came along, and then...
Oh, yeah, and the silly buggers did.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because these things obviously have no predators.
They have no natural predators. Yeah.
So they... you can seriously just, like, walk down the street, and they're just, like, crossing over the road. All the cars stop, swerve around them, and whatever. They just don't give a monkeys, these turkeys. That's another creature, the monkey.
The turkeys don't give a monkeys.
Right, shall we have another call?
No, it's like all creatures great and small. It is. Auntie Jean.
All right, let's have a bit of a Bristol action from our auntie.
Hello, everybody at Dumpty Dumland. It's Auntie Jean here. I hope everybody's well.
I am, thank you.
I have managed to listen to this week's Irish, which is very unusual for me at this time of the week, but I'm rather worried about Brian's attitude to everything. He's handing out jobs to Alice, and he's doing this for Adam, and building fences for Kate, and... he knows that Ruth's on to him, and I just wonder where this is all taking us. They wouldn't kill off Brian, would they, as well as having just killed off Nick? Anyway, I guess we'll have to wait and see about that one. No sympathy for Shelia at all. I think her mother's quite right, really. I'm afraid I'll be quite unpopular in saying that. But she really hasn't spoken to Alistair at all. She may have been unhappy for quite some considerable time, but she has ever told him that? I don't think so. So you can see his point of view, really. Mm. I think Will is coming through the worst of it. I think people have been rather unfair to Will over the last few weeks, saying, you know, that he hasn't improved from what he was before and everything. Well, grief does funny things to people, and he had every right to be as angry as he was. And I think hopefully we might see a new Will after all this. Alice is puzzling. Nobody seems to have noticed that she's been drinking herself into oblivion for the last few months. Chris may well know and is enabling her, but obviously he's in a difficult position as much as he doesn't want to admit it to himself. So, again, I'm guessing we'll have to wait and see what happens to that. I can't believe that it's just the stress of the job, though, that's doing it. But anyway... fed up with Pip and the baby already, kicking, oh, crying out loud. Do we really want to know? Anyway, that's me, I think, for this week, and I will speak to you all again soon. Please take care. See everybody if you're coming to Oxford. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Auntie Jean.
Now, can I need to say something here.
Go on, then.
There is a rumour. Now, this is not a Radio 4 rumour. I have not heard this from anybody at Radio 4 before anyone starts going, yeah, you shouldn't have said that. Da, 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 da. This is a Twitter rumour that Charles Collingwood, who plays Brian, and Judy Watsit, who plays Shula, who are a couple in real life, apparently are thinking of retiring.
Huh.
Which would mean that we got rid of Brian and Shula.
Huh.
So how would you like them apples?
Yeah, huh? But who? Where did this Twitter rumor originate from?
On the Twitters, because, and I can't even remember who said it, but someone on the Twitters had heard it from someone else.
Yeah, but who they heard it from?
I don't know.
Because, you know,
I'm going to look it up.
You need to look that up, because if they heard it from, if it was, you know, heard it from somebody who like worked at W1A, well, then you go, well, that sounds pretty credible. If they just heard it from, no disrespect, but let's say Catherine Rowan Jones, right? Well, then you go, well, it's just a Twitter rumor.
A twoomer.
There you go. There's a local beer around here called the Truma Pills, actually. It's very nice.
Sorry, you can talk while I'm looking.
So, whilst I've got your attention, listener, and Lucy's doing some research, which she really should have done before the show, right? You know, that's the reason why we have time to prep. Right? It's not by accident that
it's a Twitter person. It's a Twitter person. I don't want to say her name because I don't want to get her into trouble if she's just made this up. But she said, I wonder if it's true that Charles Collingwood and Judy Bennett want to retire. Could do without Shula, but Brian is my favourite character.
Yeah, I think half of Britain would agree with that statement. And the other half of Britain that doesn't agree just doesn't listen to the Archers.
So I'm going to...
Yeah, you do what you're going to do and I'll just witter on for a little bit. Dear listener, this week I will be interviewing the lovely Annabelle Dowler. In fact, actually tomorrow. So you have a window of maybe about 6 hours. No, more than 6 hours. 12 hours. Maybe 18. Can't do the maths. Anyway, you've got a small window of time where if you can send... me a question which you'd like me to put to Annabelle Dowler, who plays Kirsty. Sorry, I didn't say that. Annabelle Dowler plays Kirsty Miller, and you can get that on the show. So you can do that via SpeakPipe, or you can email me, or you can use the contact form on dumdydum.com. So if you want a question, you've got a question, you want to pop it through to the lovely Annabelle Dowler, who plays the irrepressible Kirsty on the Archers, you've got a window. As soon as you hear this podcast, send it in and get it on the show to her. Now, have you done your research, done your prep? Have you done anything?
No one's asking this lady where she got this information from. Yes, and someone else said, well, I hadn't heard that, but maybe the toxic waste storyline is Brian's way out, a long jail term. He won't get a long jail term, will he?
No. He's not going to get a long jail term at all.
No.
And it would be...
There we go. So bear it in mind, chaps, but we're shelving that as an unlikely, I think.
It'd be a very brave move for them to cope with the loss of two major actors at once. Utter stalwarts.
Yeah.
Utter stalwarts. You know, and...
Yeah.
Not that... I haven't spoken to either of the actors beforehand, but you'd kind of think, you know, getting to their age and beyond, doing a radio drama, 3 days out of the month, that's just gentle retirement in and of itself.
Well, look at Peggy Woolley. She's 146 and she's still going. She's on her third hip now. She's bionic. Can I just say something else as well? Do you know Charles Collingwood? Guess who one of his best friends is in real life?
Theresa May. Boris Johnson.
Close. Boris Johnson's dad, Stanley Johnson.
Wow, and that was an utter guess.
Yes. There we are.
Don't
tell us that we never give you completely useless bits of information like that.
I don't know if that was useless at all. I'd say that was...
He says, I have known Charles Collingwood for over 60 years. Archers fans will know him as Brian. Judy Bennett, his wife, plays the part of Shula.
One of the things which Annabelle wants to talk to me about tomorrow on the interview is actually who Archer's muckers are. We did our little bit of a pre-prep and we did our chat and she went, oh, I'll tell you who my friends are and who I hang about with and blah, blah, blah. So expect to get lots of green room gossip from my interview. Now, have we done all the calls, Lucy?
We have.
Hmm. Right. So I think we should then rush through the ads, because the ads, just the ads, really. He wants to talk about walkie-talkie. Don't even listen to it myself. And we'll come back the other side.
Tell that by the editor.
Yeah. Yeah, you're very funny, you. I'll come back the other side with Dodgy Millie Bell and some social media goings on.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
If you're listening to this podcast, you're most probably listening through a pair of headphones, which means I have the perfect sponsor with the perfect product for you. It's Studio, and they want to revolutionize the way people see headphones. Generally, fashionable headphones tend to lack the proper sound quality, and the high-tech ones are bulky and not design-orientated. Studio bridged that gap while emphasizing sleek, modern Scandinavian design. To get a 15% discount on any of their wares, go to studiosweden.com, which is spelled SUDIOsweden.com, and simply put in the code DTD when purchasing a pair of headphones.
Hi, this is Lucy, and you're listening to Walkie Talkie. Every day I walk my dog in and around Epping Forest, and there's a regular group of dog walkers that catch up with each other, and the group of us, you know, we're from all kinds of different backgrounds. The one thing we have in common is that we all have dogs, obviously. And I sort of came up with the idea of recording these conversations because there's something quite confessional about walking side by side with somebody. There's no eye contact. You can just plod along. You know the names of their dog. You quite often don't know their name. You definitely don't know their surname. And it's just a very odd little hour out of the day, and you can get some really startling insights into people's lives because they know that you don't have a relationship with them outside of the dog. And also, if things get a bit, you know, emotional or a bit too close, you can distract yourself with whatever the dog's doing, or you get quite close to people in a remote way. It's an intriguing sort of mixture. With people's permission, obviously, I started recording some of the conversations, and it sort of grew, and now people ask if they can come on the walk even though they don't have a dog, because I think they just like the space to talk. So this is Walkie Talkie. I hope you enjoy it, and I'll see you in the forest.
Good day, everyone. Now, whilst the forum has gone a little bit quiet, we do have a couple of discussions. We have some statistics and information put up by Witherspoon about binge drinking. And also Purple Pumpkin has a plot prediction up about Alistair and Elizabeth. So if you'd like to get involved in some long-form discussion, please go to our forum at dumptydum.com/forums. We've been very, very busy on Facebook as ever. So much happening. I have to say that we are a bit over the, what's it called, the Sports Relief app. And as I'm not really sure what it is, not being in the UK, I think one of the things they could have done if they were going to promote it was explain what the money is used for, I guess. We also had a long discussion about Jill. I had said, Jill, your daughter confides in you that her marriage has fallen apart and you accuse her of forgetting her wedding vows. Really? And Joanne Smith said, well, I think she'll have been pretty sanctimonious with Alistair. As the one who noticed the marriage was dying, I'd have expected her to actually open her mouth and say so at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Since she hasn't made much of an effort to save the marriage, even back when she still loved him, I didn't mind hearing Jill tell her off. Fair enough, Joanne. Helen Bosdigan said, I have a healthy dislike of Jill. Sasha Manish said, all I could think was, what a bitch. As soon as she asked if anyone had been told, I knew what was coming. It's interesting, a lot of people have said that Shula needed to be more upfront with Alistair, but I feel as though I've seen it coming for ages. She's dropped lots of hints, even though she hasn't had a direct conversation with him about it.
Millie,
and he's just never tuned in. And I suppose if you're trying to broach, don't mean to tread on Witherspoon's territory here, but if you're trying to broach a sensitive subject and you move towards it and the other person doesn't respond as you expect, then you back off. And I kind of think that's what's happened with Shula, although it's not acceptable when it's actually about her marriage. But I've been seeing it for ages. We also talked about the fact that Shula gave Will very good advice, very wise, very gently delivered. And we acknowledged that that wasn't bad when she was actually grieving for her own losses. Meg Edgoose Clubley says, I don't often sympathise with Shula, but I did tonight. Claire Taylor said, a rare outing of sensitivity for St. Shula. I was greatly impressed. And Witherspoon said, this was the advice that changed Will's mind. I thought it was going to be something Clary would say, but she was too invested in changing Will's mind. And Will benefited by hearing from someone who had gone through what he has. See, he is mellowing, but he can still never give credit to anyone helping him. That is absolutely true. We also talked about... we've also had some message up from Witherspoon, who is in Scotland. So all I can say about that is, well, you can stop showing off if you like now, Witherspoon, although I'll be there later in the year. We also talked about Alice and the fact that whatever's happening with her is not going to be pretty and it's not going to end soon. Peter Ranson said, give the actor some credit. She sounded so like Kate today, it was quite freaky. And lots of people agreed. Nick Holland wants to be reminded of where Alice was the night of the hit and run. Rachel Hannah said, do we really think Emma would have reacted like that when Alice arrived? I understand her behaviour when she got drunk, but turning up late because of work isn't the same. Not defending Alice here, but she works in a high-pressure environment and she might not have felt able to ask for compassionate leave, as not all employers are sympathetic. Once again, Eddie was superbly written and acting, though, so that's good to know. And we also had Karen Cunningham saying, I'm so cross with this storyline. Again, Nick's funeral was just a foil for them to further the boring alcoholic Alice storyline. Nick deserves better than that. And why on earth would Alice be waxing lyrical about Nick at her funeral? Why would she even be there, let alone apologise for missing the service? I'd really struggle to remember a scene that they were both in together, aside from the gin, no gin debacle at the pub recently. Okay, there were some very strong feelings in that thread, and if you'd like to get involved in that, please join us on Facebook. Again, we've had a really busy week on The Archers, not many flat moments at all, and so that always leads us to lively debate, and we'd love you to join us. So if you would like to, find us on Facebook, Dumpty Dum, The Archers Fans Podcast. But until next week, I'm going to say to you, Hooroo.
Oh, there's some country views there, weren't there?
Mm. There were.
That's the very essence of debate on a forum, Lucy.
Well, I was going to say, well, that's exactly what it's there for, isn't it?
Yes. And also it's showing that the scriptwriters are doing a good thing, doing it right, because they're kind of provoking different reactions from people. It's not, everyone's not just sailing along, picking up the same thing from the same storyline, are they?
True that. But I couldn't disagree.
I am going out for lunch with Kerry Davis soon. Again? I've forgotten when temporarily, but soon. Again, yes. And I shall tell him that he has done a cracking job at the moment, particularly with Brian, because I think no one's disagreeing about how no one's saying that's not Brian, that's not what Brian would do. It's what Brian is doing at the moment. Brian is at peak Brian at the moment.
No, that is very true.
We have hit peak Brian.
Awesome. Well, you braggadocio person, you.
Well, you're interviewing thingy, aren't you?
That is completely and utterly professional. I'm not having a social lunch.
Are you suggesting I'm going to be unprofessional with Kerry Davis?
Yes. It's exactly.
I'm hoping so. He does smell. He does smell very nice. Kerry always smells absolutely lovely.
As opposed to...
And I always ask him, and he always tells me, and I forget immediately. Anyway. Yeah. No, you don't. I don't. You don't smell of anything, do you?
You're talking about. I wear keels all the time.
Keels? Keels what?
Keels cologne. The gentleman.
Oh, I've never noticed. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, it says much more about you than it does about me. But anyway, let's.
No, it says you're not wearing enough of Keels cologne. No one can smell it.
It says that you just don't pay attention to me, Lucy. But anyway, hit us with some tweets because I need to get onto Map Corner because that's what everyone's tuned in for this week.
Oh, my God. Willem Harvey said, I think Alice may have a drinking problem. Has anyone else noticed the signs have been incredibly subtle? Now, this one is A, relates to a photograph, which is really stupid to do on a podcast, and B, most of our listeners who aren't British and from a certain generation aren't going to get it. But I'm going to just go ahead and do it anyway, because that's the kind of girl I am. Hinge Zandel. There's a picture, which I won't ruin, because that would ruin the joke. And he said, hello, do you have a copy of The Silmarillion by J.R.R. Tolkien? You do? My name? It's yes. And there we go. Ashley Manning said, if I was Alistair, I'd have cleared out the joint bank account, sold all the ketamine to Freddie and brought a one-way ticket to Vegas by now. We'd all be with you, Ashley. Rob Titchener, not him, said, Will, I've made a decision, Mum. I'm going to the funeral. Clary, it was yesterday, you big turnip. And tweet of the week, Brian Smiley, who had Bert saying, I'm sorry, Pip, I hadn't meant to offend you, but may I say pregnancy really suits you. Your breasts look magnificent.
Well done. Well done.
Thank you. Are you going to do your mappy nonsense now?
Yeah, right now, folks. Thank you to everybody who's been sending me through maps. Even when I hadn't done a map corner, I don't think I did one for, I don't know, 3-4 months. I don't think I've done one all year. No, definitely haven't. It's March and I haven't done one all year. So I've at least gone 4 months, if not five, without actually having a map corner.
And then you had to ruin it, didn't you? You had to bloody ruin it.
Lucy, it's one of the most popular segments on the show. Because people were still sending me bloody maps.
And people were still sending me maps. Yeah, they're only doing it to annoy me. They're people that don't like me.
It just works. Map Corner.
I shall find you all, hunt you down.
There's a lot of people you need to hunt down and kill then. Right, you're going to be like Ambridge's first mass murderer, I tell you, because there's a lot of dumb dumbers you need to kill. Right, and the segment just works so well on radio, on a podcast. Anyway,
I suppose just an added layer of surrealism.
Okay,
yes.
So First off, Jed and White. Roy Field, I know nothing about the Russian Civil War, but I want to learn. Now, Lucy, holy camoli, here is a map, right? Here is a map, Lucy. Now, the Russian Civil War takes place just after World War One, and the white forces, the Tsarists, booted out of power by the Bolsheviks. But the Bolsheviks only really hold Leningrad, well, soon to be called Leningrad, Petrograd, it was called then, and Moscow. And slowly but surely over the next 4 or 5 years, they consolidate their power over the Russian Empire. So you have this weird period, Lucy, where you have lots of the periphery bits just break off and become their own independent countries for a little bit. So you have weird things like, and I really should have had this up and ready beforehand, quick pause, the Confederated Republic of the Altai. Ever heard of that? I hadn't. Right?
Nope.
Lasted from 1917 to 1920, and it was declared as the first step towards rebuilding Genghis Khan's empire. Right on the... Exactly. No. It's bonkers. You look at this map, and you just think they're making up the names of these places. The Soviet Republic of Gilan, Green Ukraine, the Far East Republic, the North Caucasian Emirate, lasted from September the 19th to January 1920. Didn't last very long. It's just full of... Oh, you want to see the flag of the Free Territory, Lucy? It's the Jolly Roger. It's black, skull and crossbones. It was an anarchist state constituted of local governments protected by Nestor, can't even pronounce his surname, but some warlord's rogue army. I tell you, folks, this is a map of all maps, but it's not actually map of the week. Oh, the Republic of Perolja has a bull with a cross on its flag. It is just bonkers. It's just all manner of craziness on the periphery of the soon-to-be Soviet Republic. Awesome. So thank you for that, Mr. Jed and White. Normally, on any normal week, that would win Map of the Week because that is brilliant. Robert Wilson, ever heard of him?
I have, yes.
Right, he sent through a contender for Map Corner.
Oh, Robert, how could you? Honestly, you can't trust anyone.
Now, his map is the literal translation of country names of Europe, right? Now, I'm going to hit you with a couple and you've got to guess what country.
Well, that might be tricky because you keep dropping out. So anyway, give it a go. If I can't hear you, I'll just be quiet.
All right. The land of many rabbits. What country is that? Literal translation.
Canada.
Since when has Canada been in Europe?
Oh, sorry, I forgot the Europe bit. The land of many rabbits.
I would never have guessed.
Lapland. That's not in Europe either. I give up.
Well, Lapland is in Europe. It's divided between Norway, Sweden, Finland and Russia, Lapland.
Okay, but that's not the answer.
I would have said that was a good guess. Spain.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. The land of many rabbits. That's a literal translation of the word Spain. Right.
In what
people
language?
Of the fields. Well, you know what? It's going to be some archaic Iberian language.
Right.
Or it's going to be some archaic Latin, isn't it?
Yes.
Hmm. Definitely not modern Spanish.
No.
People of the fields. We'll just do two more of these.
People of the fields?
Mm-hmm.
We're still in Europe?
Yes.
Gold. Oh, I don't know.
Poland.
Ah! Next.
Well, yeah, all right. And here's one. The land of tall people.
Norway.
That's a very good guess.
They're all about 8'6" in Norway. What is it then?
Macedonia.
Oh!
All right. Here's an easy one for you.
Oh, God.
Northern Way. Think about it.
Norway.
You might get this one. Way! There you go. Well done there, Freeman.
You are patronising.
No, Not at all. Didn't want to make you feel inadequate. I wanted you to get one, so I gave you an easy one. You could work out. Right, now, just very quickly rattle through these. Miriam said she saw this and thought of me. Now, this is pure genius, Lucy. It's a map, and it's the Summer Isles in Scotland, perforated so that you can basically rip off various bits and for stamps. So you get a little island here on one, you get a little bit of the mainland on another, but it's actually a beautiful thing to behold. It's kind of like the kind of compass in the corner splaying out. And yeah, very, very clever and very, very fun. And she took a picture of it because you obviously got the stamps and it's on her desk there. So thank you for that, Miriam. And then Nina sent this through a little time ago. And it's one of her favourites. And I thought we'd just give this an honourable mention because it's a knitted map of the British Isles with all the kind of sea areas in. So we've got Tyne, Dogger, Humber, Thames, Dover. Now, when the sipping forecast comes on, Lucy, I know you're generally asleep.
Mm-hmm.
But what's your favourite?
To be honest, I'm asleep by the time EastEnders comes on. But anyway. Hebrides.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah, Hebrides is a bit kind of like, oh, come on, Hebrides, because we've heard of Hebrides. I've always loved a little bit of Malin or Fastnet.
Right.
Mm, just saying. Fitzroy, I'm partial to a bit of Fitzroy as well.
Yep.
And Rockall.
Yep.
Anywhere where I don't know where it is and I've never heard of it before, generally I quite like. Just saying. But it's a lovely map and it's all knitted. And she didn't say whether she knitted it. Maybe she did. But anyway. Now, we get into the winner. Blythe Spirit blew everyone away. This came through, I think, this morning, Lucy. It's had a whole load of retweets and likes. I'm going to excuse the French. Fucking genius, right? Now, there's some crazy dude called Michelangelo who uses the GPS tracker on his bike to draw pictures. You've seen this.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
He's clever, bordering on bonkers. It's a picture of a dinosaur from where he's ridden in this Canadian city, and it is ridiculously detailed. So it's like a T-Rex, and, you know, and this is, you can see this thing, it's up on its legs, it's got its little paws, he's even cycled his teeth out, right? God knows how long it took him to do this, how you even work this out, but trust me, folks, go on to my Twitter timeline, and it's from Blythe Spirit, and it's just a pure work of genius. Everyone's been liking it and retweeting it this morning. Michelangelo uses GPS tracker to ride around this city to draw out a T-Rex with a big, long tail, looking awesome. Well done to you, sir. Well done to you, Blythe Spirit. Map Corner, gosh, we salute you here on Map Corner. Right now, Lucy.
Yep.
Shall we move on?
Yes.
Or shall we just, shall you remind people that if they want to send me a map, they need to do the hashtag Map Corner. Would you like to do that?
Not really, no, because I don't want people to send you more of the damn things. If you must, if you absolutely have to, then put hashtag total waste of time, okay? That's the one.
You're a mean-spirited woman, you know. Totally mean-spirited. But anyway, read on. Let's wrap this thing up.
It's all black, you know. All right. Remember, to get in contact, you can send us a voice message via... pardon? What did you say?
All black. Most good podcasters are.
Ah. Remember, to get in contact with us, you can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe on the website or call 0203 031 3105 to leave a message.
On the socials, you can find me, Royfield, and Juicy Loose at DumDeeDum. That's specifically on Twitter. Lucy, if you just want to follow her goings on, can be found at
Lucy V. Freeman.
And I can be found at Royfield on Facebook. You can go along and join the Millie Bell and Witherspoon at Two Ring Circus. because that's what they do over there. Oh, and I know she kind of did mention this on her social media roundup, but Witherspoon is in Scotland at the moment, and there's loads of pictures of him. Well, more the views of Scotland is over there in the Highlands, and it looks rather awesome, Lucy. And he fell down and had to get rescued by somebody, and really? I think he hurt his knee or something or other. So, yeah, there's all manner of drama going on. On Saturday on the Dum-de-Dum Facebook page, yeah. So, but I think some big, strapping, handsome laird or something or another. Somebody who had some social standing helped him.
Oh, good.
I'm just going to say it's a laird just because. But, you know, somebody with a big sporran or something or another. He was helped out, so well done to everybody.
I hope he had a good squeeze up his kilt while he was at it.
I think that's just about us done. You know what? I think this show's been a triumph, Lucy.
Do you?
Because we managed to talk about some of the local wildlife over here in the East Bay, and sorry, in the Bay Area, and that's always a good thing.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's good to talk about wildlife and kind of the farmland animals on a show which is fundamentally agricultural. So I think that's one reason we can pat ourselves on the back. We've also heard conflicting views to a storyline on the Archers, which, as you said, proves that it was really well written because people take different things from it. So, yes, I think we can both pat ourselves on the back, and so can the script writers, and so can the dum-de-dummers all around the world.
It's a big mutual appreciation society. That's what we are.
It is. Right, and we've even got penciled in potentially a date for a dum-de-dum meetup in London.
Woohoo!
But confirmation will come, folks.
Is hopefully... it a meetup or a live dum-de-dum?
Oh, God, yes. Sorry, it's a live dum-de-dum. Sorry, I was downplaying significance.
I could stop being nervous now, then, if it's just a meetup.
No. Sorry, everybody. Yes, I was downplaying significance. It's going to be a live dum-de-dum, and we have penciled in Becky Wright, who played Nick Grundy, and potentially, I could be speaking out of turn here, Anya, who plays Lexi, potentially. So it's going to be a good one, folks. It's going to be
you are going to have a bloody field day, aren't you? You're going to be insufferable.
Why? I'm never insufferable. I'm a much nicer person than you.
I know, but you're going to have all the women there. Women, women, women. Can we at least get Tim Bentinck for me?
You know what? That might be quite a good call.
If we had those three, we could just go home. They could just do it between them, quite frankly.
That's very true, actually. Because Becky's a bit awesome and spiky. Tim can just talk for England, Holland, and whatever bit of the world anyway. And then Anya's just like, well, she's a dark horse, that one. You don't know what you're going to get from her, because she could just take it in a completely... Why don't we do that?
All right. Well, shall I get in touch with Tim?
You get in contact with Tim. I'll confirm with Becky that we now... Well, why don't we like get the date confirmed first before we do this half cop? We've only penciled it. And as soon as we have the date confirmed, we'll mention it on the Twitters, on Facebook, on the podcast, on whatever forum platform Dum-de-dum is on. And then on that note, I think I'd best say goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.